Tonight we're going to continue our series on personal evangelism tonight, and this is the third of four lessons. In our first series, which included four lessons, we talked about being a good neighbor. And this is the way we can look at it. Makes it very simplistic and very easy, simply being a good neighbor to other people, living by the golden rule, and I think we'll see that played out even more tonight. The second lesson, don't worry, just do it. We don't need to get tied up in what we can't do or we can do, and just know that the Lord has equipped us to go out and do the work that we can do, and we just need to go on and do it. You know, sometimes the young people are so successful bringing people to church and those people being converted. And why is that? No one's told them they can't do that yet. And so they go on out there and they do it. And they are very successful bringing folks to church and where they can be taught. The third lesson, what works today. And we talked about authority for the discussion, which we've had in these two series. Recent history of expediencies brethren have used. And we talked about the visitors meeting today. And that's where we're so successful today, is bringing people to church and where they can hear the gospel and where they can obey the gospel. The fourth lesson, good personal workers or good stewards, and talked about being good stewards of our personal resources, our time, our energy, and our money, and to spend time building relationships and reaching the lost. In this series, the first lesson was to develop a list of prospects. And we went through a whole process of doing that and to boil it down to where there's just a few to concentrate on at a time and to begin praying for those every day. Last week, our lesson was on building bridges. And when we build a bridge, we are able to then reach people. And as the picture here is of a man who's trying to reach out to others, he has to build a bridge so that he can communicate with these and he can carry on a discussion with them and have an influence in their life. And so a bridge has to be built to get from one side to the other so that one can travel back and forth and communication can occur back and forth. And then once a bridge is built, then you can travel across that bridge. And here is a van going across a bridge. You may can tell that. And a car back in the background. And they're going across the bridge. And once we have this bridge that is built, and this is a relationship where we are on the friendship level, then communication can take place within that friendship. And that's what we're talking about tonight. The end result of all of that, as we share the gospel with others, is bringing them to Christ through the Word of God and the salvation of their souls. Now, if you want to look, I asked Trevor to pass out again a copy of the flow chart. Pam told me, Daddy, I don't need this. I've got three already. Well, the point is to have it so you can look at it tonight and remind yourself of what we're talking about. The first four steps we talked about in building a bridge: initial contact, becoming better acquainted, serving them, and then becoming a friend. Tonight we're going to talk about the last four things, and that is let the traffic flow. Once we've built a bridge and we're able to communicate as friends, then we can let the traffic flow. And how do we do this? Well, we begin, first of all, tonight, and again, I also asked Trevor to pass out to you a three-page handout that's stapled together. Not that you can even should try to follow along with that tonight, but I want you to have that so that after you leave here, if you want to follow up with some of these things, or you want to say, what was he talking about, or what were some of the suggestions with that, you'll have this so you can refer back to it. Principles to remember as we share our faith with our friends. We need to identify ourselves as a Christian in the course of natural conversation. And we're not, you know, we're not asking or suggesting that we go out there and we just try to raise the conversation just from nowhere, but just in the normal course of conversations. Some have termed this conversational evangelism, and I hope to do more lessons on that. And that is just in the course of normal conversation. How do we bring up these things? How do we talk about these things? We simply do it by being ourselves, talking about ourselves, talking about our life's experiences, talking about church, talking about the things that are important to us. There's one brother in Thomasville, Georgia. He's passed away now, so he's not in Thomasville anymore. And he was very good at this. The saying was, when you go around him, you're not going to be around him very long before you start talking about the Lord. The Lord always would come up in the conversation. And so that's all we're talking about. Turn your Bibles again to Matthew 5. We've looked at this scripture several times. Matthew chapter 5, and this is all we're talking about in these lessons. Matthew chapter 5, and beginning in verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And I'll give you some examples of that as it relates to evangelism in just a few minutes. But that's all we're talking about doing. Just in our everyday life, when we're around people and we're around our friends and we're doing activities, just let our light shine and just talk about what is important to us. And that is God, and that is the things God has done for us. And that's about church and the things that we're doing. And that's what's important to us. I'll give you an illustration of this. I thought it was excellent. I told Beth, I said, I'm going to have to use that. She probably didn't know I meant in a sermon. And I had this lesson in mind right here. The house we're living in, we still get mail from the lady who lived there before us. And so we've sort of become a little bit friends. Beth has, because she goes by every once in a while and we'll take her mail to her. And you know, we'll joke around and kid around and, you know, all this stuff like this. Well, we got a piece of mail. And what it was one of those envelopes from another church in town where, you know, you put your contribution in the envelope and you mail it off. Yeah. And so it very clear what it was and everything. And so Beth took her mail to her and it grinned real big. I wasn't there now, but I know Beth. It was grinned real big and showed her this. And she said something like this. You know, let me tell you about a good place to go to church. I promise you, you'll never get one of these. And of course, it was laughter and all of this. But you see, she made the point and gave the invitation in a very lighthearted way, just in a very natural way, and that was very effective as they continue on with their relationship. We're simply telling people what we believe, and as we relate these things to in natural conversations, just in short, succinct ways, honestly telling people what we believe and how we feel. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, another scripture we've talked about from time to time. And we're simply in just everyday conversations in ways that are not offensive. And we're just sharing the things that we believe. You know, as I began really working on these things years ago, I came to this conclusion. If someone is telling me what they believe, I certainly should be able to, in turn, tell them what I believe. They tell me what they believe, I don't get mad. I try to understand what they're saying. And when I tell them what I believe, in turn, they don't get mad. They may try to understand what I'm saying. But it's not offensive. If we do, as the Bible says, with our speech seasoned with salt, with a gracious speech, it's not offensive to others. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't have our mind the way that it needs to be. Perhaps we've not trained ourselves to be able to carry on these conversations, and what happens? We get nervous, maybe we get a little upset, maybe we get a little angry, and gentleness is the furthest thing from maybe what we're doing when we conduct ourselves with this, but with gentleness and with reverence. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders. That's exactly what we're talking about. How is it we can conduct ourselves wisely toward those outside of the body of Christ to try to have a chance to communicate to them what God has said? Now, what else is said here in this scripture? Making the most of the opportunity. Now, that's something else we're talking about. Lord willing, in the next series, we'll talk about it even more. How can you make the best out of every single opportunity? I think Beth did a good job with that, with the envelope thing. Excellent, excellent. Not offensive. Smile. Knew exactly what she was talking about. Invitation was there. And it was perfect. Perfect example of making the best of that opportunity. I'm glad she took it because I hadn't thought about that. I'm glad she took it, not me. Verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace. With grace there, that means that it's pleasing to hear. It's not offensive to someone. You know, you're not, we're not reviling. We're not angry. It's very pleasing to listen to the ears. Speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. What does salt do? Makes something taste good. That may not be as palatable tastes a little bit better. And I like to use salt to make food taste a little better. So make it taste as good as it can. Same thing with the gospel. Not that we're putting a spin on it, not that we're only given half of it, but make it as palatable as possible, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. And many times, I hate to tell you, I'm as guilty as everybody else. We turn people off not by what we say, but how we say it. Not what we say necessarily, but how we say it. And that's what we have to be very, very careful about. Lord willing, we'll talk about that more. A few principles with this. Don't try to say everything at one time. And I'm sure everybody here is as guilty of that as I am. You know, you just want, you know, you've got just volumes of stuff you want to tell people. And so you want to just get it all out as fast as it can get out. That's the wrong way to look at it. We're building long-term relationships with many, 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 many conversations. And it takes time to digest these things. And so we put a little out and we let it be digested, a little more and let it be digested. What's going to happen if we just let it all out at one time? They're going to choke on it. And they're going to reject it. And that's the end of all of those conversations much of the time. So don't try to get everything out at once. Think of it as a building process. The purpose at this point is not to convert, but to communicate our beliefs with other people. Ask questions. Seek to understand them so that we can communicate. From time to time, you know, I talk about sales with this because sales is the ultimate communication, besides maybe politics, ultimate communication profession. And whether it's in sales or it's in customer service or any of those things, we have to communicate so people understand us. For them to understand us, we have to understand them. The more we understand them, and we understand the language that they use, and we pick up on, we'll talk more about this as we go, we pick up on the key words to say, when this person says this, it means this. Now, if I can explain a Bible principle using that word, it's understandable to them. Let me give you an example. Talking with people outside of the body of Christ, the worst thing you can ever talk about or invite them to is a gospel meeting without explaining it, because they don't know what a gospel meeting is. What is a gospel meeting? Would you like to come to a gospel meeting? It's like, that guy's from Mars. What is a gospel meeting? We have to explain those things so that they can understand what we're talking about. There's a book I use in grounding people who are new Christians. I was talking with Chris and Lindsay the other day. It used to be the first book that I used trying to convert folks to Christ through the gospel, and had some success with that. But it was just too difficult. It was too difficult, and it went into too much stuff. That's very difficult for someone who's not a Christian, even for a young Christian, to try to grasp. You know, someone who's not a Christian or just become a Christian, when we start talking about the body of Christ, that the body is the church, you know how hard that is to grasp and to conceptualize? You know, that's something you have to go over and over and over and teach, because if you've not grown up in the church and you've not been around Christians all of your life to say we are the body of Christ and the body is the church and we are a congregation of the body, and those things are difficult to understand. And so though we have to be very careful to communicate in a way that's understandable and to educate as we communicate with others. Be sensitive to their reactions. Place yourself in their shoes. And we need to do that. And be sensitive to if we say something or talk about something, how is that going to be received by them and the things perhaps that's going on with their life, the things that they're dealing with. And so we have to be very sensitive to that. Let me give you an example of that. Now, no one with the Church of Christ I ever know of, but perhaps you have seen, I have seen, preachers on street corners shaking their finger at people and telling them, "You're condemned, you're going to hell." Not very sensitive, is it? I was when I went to school on the college campus, Ball State University, and there was a guy on the street corner doing that, and a girl would pass by and he said, "Your dress is too short, you're going to hell." Totally wrong way to go about it, isn't it? Totally wrong way. Not sensitive to her situation, that she was just doing what she's always been taught to do. Nobody's ever taught her. And so that's not very sensitive to her. As we share our faith, seek wisdom from God. And of course, it's His providence we've talked about involved with all of this. And if we're ready to be workers and we're training ourselves and we're working at those things, that God is going to bring us into contact with others, and pray about that. James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So some activities. In daily conversation, just interject your beliefs based on God's Word. You know, and we don't need to be quoting Bible verses and things like that, especially at the beginning of a relationship. But just interject basic Bible principles. You know, if someone is interested, they're going to ask about that. They're going to want to talk about that. If they're not interested, it's not going to do any good to try to cram it down their throat. In time, they may be interested in those things. Don't hesitate to speak about the special benefits that we as Christians have. And you know what? This is something that I think we're too afraid of. And I think that's in part because of the Pentecostal movement and things like that. We're afraid to say that God has blessed me and that this is a blessing from God and that God has blessed me in my business. Why am I successful in my business, in my job, in my work, in my family? It's because of the blessings of God. We can come into this building and say it all day long. For some reason, we think that once we get outside of those doors, that's taboo. And it's not taboo. And that's one way we can share our faith with other people, seeking those who are interested in God. When appropriate, give Him the glory. Talking to people about our faith is one of the most enjoyable and most liberating things we can do. I grew up thinking that you don't talk about these things. You know, you don't talk about them. You know we're just to be quiet and we're not to share these things with other people, the blessings of God, and certainly never to admit our mistakes, to show someone how God has worked in our life. Certainly never admit that we've been lost in sin. And I sort of grew up thinking that way. You know, when I really began thinking about this and studying about it and praying about it and really wanted to go out and to interact with people, and when I just let go of all that baggage that, you know, I'm not supposed to do this, I'm not supposed to do this, I'm not supposed to say this, and I was just honest and sincere with people and tell them about me, tell them about my faith, tell them what the Lord has done for me, then I began to have a little success in relating with people. Be a good neighbor and share your faith. That's all we're talking about. Be a good neighbor and share your faith. I have a couple of examples for this, and I wish so much. And I'm like everybody else. You know, you want to do something, you don't do it. And I say, well, I'm going to get to church tonight, I'm going to get this guy, and I'm going to say, now tell me this again, because I want to use it. But I didn't, and he was busy back there. But he told me a story about how he came to be a Christian. And, you know, he's out playing, some sport, handball, racquetball or something, and he was playing with a Christian. And, you know, noticed that this person was different. And started to be curious about these things and started to ask questions. And that ended up with a Bible study. And that ended up with becoming a Christian. And that ended up with marrying a Christian wife and having a Christian family. And it was all because, well, not all because, but partially all started with playing this sports game with this fellow who was a Christian. I'm sorry, Gary, I know I didn't get it right, but, you know. And that, you know, that's exactly what we're talking about. Be friends. Get out and play sports. Let your light shine. The Lord's going to bring people into your life to have a relationship with you that you can bring to Christ through the Word of God. That's what we're talking about. It's not hard. It's not hard. I'll have to give you one more example. And this one I know a little bit better because I've investigated a little bit more. Man and woman owned a hardware store. And this guy kept coming in. He's a real good customer. He kept coming in and buying things. And you know, we just sort of talk about things as he went on. And he was buying things and he was going out and doing things for other people. And so he would come in a lot. And finally, he was such a good customer, the owners of the hardware store gave him just some extra stuff so that he could just, you know, good customer, here's some extra stuff. And he was so happy to get the extra stuff, he says, I know what I'm going to do with that. He was going to go help somebody and do something for him with the hardware things. The people said, you know, the owners of the hardware store, you know, I want to be like that person. I want to be like that person. Well, that's the person we want to be. And so they started finding out about him, and he's a Christian, and oh, just so happened to be that they didn't know that, but they found out later he's a gospel preacher, and they start going to church where he was preaching in Tampa here, and they became Christians, and they're faithful today, and you know, it's just great, great couple. Well, that's Roe and Tina Reeves, by the way. That's how they came to know the Lord, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see, what was that all about? That was just one preacher. Didn't have to be a preacher, just a Christian who was out helping people. And when he came into the hardware store to buy the stuff, he would just let his light shine to the glory of God, just like we've already read tonight. And people who want to be that way are then going to try to find out, well, what is it about that guy that I need to do? And they found out, well, you need to become a Christian. That's what you need to do. That's all we are talking about. We're not talking about anything hard or anything difficult. Step number two, witness of the body. Now, that title is a little confusing, witness of the body. And you try to put titles short and succinct in all of this. Simply, it means this. Once you're friends with someone and you're starting to share your faith with them, then also get them involved with other Christians so that they can see other Christians as they also shine their light. Simply means introducing our friends to other Christians. That's all it's talking about. You see, because now I've built a relationship with this person, and now I need to try to get this person to build a relationship with other Christians. So now it's not just one person shining their light, but it may be two or three or four families all shining their light. It may be the whole congregation shining their light. Some principles here. Oh, by the way, the most powerful influence we can have toward those who are outside is our lives and the lives of other Christians. And I've said this several times, and perhaps you're tired of it. It takes a congregation. One of the greatest tools we have in reaching others is this congregation. When we assemble for worship, when we assemble for Bible class, and when we go out and do other things that are not a part of what we do here as a church, but as Christians we go and do other things, like we may have a singing, or we may have a social gathering, or something like that. That's an excellent time to bring our friends and let them meet lots of Christians who are shining their light. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 13. This is, of course, a Bible principle. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so simply what we are doing is introducing those who are outside of the body of Christ to experience, to see, to witness the love that we have as a congregation. And by that, by the way they see that we communicate, that we act toward one another, our relationship is toward one another, as we worship, as we have Bible class, as we play softball, as we have potlucks, as we have singings at somebody's house, that love that they see is going to send a message to them. And the message is, these people are Christians, these people are disciples of Jesus Christ, and if they want to become a Christian and be saved, they know where to go. And that's here. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. John 17, verses 20 and 21. Jesus' prayer for believers, that's you and me. John 17, 20 and 21. I do not say on behalf of these alone, but for those who, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world, get it, that the world may believe. What is the greatest testimony besides the Word of God to Jesus Christ and the body of Christ and to salvation? It is this group of people and the congregations all over the world. So we need, after we have a friend, after we're beginning to share our faith, we need to get them around other Christians. Some suggested activities. The purpose here is not even to convert someone at this point, not to gang up on anyone. Of course, we never want to do that. But simply to get them around other Christians. Include Christians in your social, recreational, and work activities with non-Christian friends. So include, when you're doing something, and you're doing something with someone who's not a Christian, that's your friend, well, call some Christian friends to go do it too, so that they can meet them also. Have them over for dinner, invite some Christian friends. Have them, invite them over to functions at the local church, assemblies, gospel meetings, whatever it may be. Invite them to potlucks, social functions as Christians come together for that. Invite them to home Bible studies or anything that we could have where Christians and non-Christians could be there together. Invite them to attend weekly Bible studies at work or at school. Invite them to lunch or dinner where other Christians are there. As we share our faith with our friends, we simply need to get them around other Christians so that they too can share their faith and they too can be a light. It takes a congregation. It takes a congregation. So yes, to let the traffic flow, we need to share our faith and then introduce our non-Christian friends to our Christian friends, and then comes exposure to the gospel. This too is not hard. This is very easy. You don't have to go out and teach a Bible class. You don't have to have some long lecture or something like that. It's very, very, very simple principles to remember at this stage. Our goal is simply to expose our prospect, our non-Christian friend, to a full and clear explanation of the gospel. You see, we've built the relationship. We've shared our faith. They've been around other Christians. Other Christians have shared their faith. They've seen how we act as a congregation, as the body of Christ, and they've seen the love that's there that is a witness to that. And now it's time to make sure they're exposed to the gospel, the teaching of the gospel. Not so much to convert, but to create understanding. Just to create understanding. Because the power of God is the gospel. It's this. I tell you what, I had to come to terms with this a long time ago. If my ability as a preacher determined if people were going to be saved or not, everybody's going to be lost. You know, it's not my ability that counts. It's not your ability that counts. It's simply getting them to this point right here, to the Bible, to the Word of God, to the gospel. If they are already firm believers in Jesus Christ but mistaken about some things concerning the gospel, we simply are trying to help them understand more accurately the Word of God. That's all we're trying to do. Turn your Bibles over to Acts 18 very quickly. Acts chapter 18, and this is the story of Apollos. And you'll remember the story there as Priscilla and Aquila came to Ephesus, and they heard him preaching, and he was still preaching the baptism of John, and they pulled him away privately and explained to him more accurately. Verse 24, Acts 18, 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But Priscilla and Aquila heard him. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And that's all that we're trying to do. Someone that believes in Jesus, but they've been taught incorrectly and believe incorrectly on some things, we're just kindly trying to pull them aside and explain these things more accurately. That's all that we're doing. We don't need to get mad. We don't need to stomp. We don't need to point fingers. We don't need to shout. We don't need to do any of those things that would be detrimental. We're simply being a good friend, a good neighbor, and pointing these things out. Our primary responsibility is to teach the gospel and make sure the person has a proper understanding what Christ has done for them. Use other Christians to do this. It's not that we're out there by ourselves. It's not out there that we're all alone. As a matter of fact, whenever I go to a Bible study, especially if it's with someone who's not a Christian, I always, always try to take someone. Because two heads are better than one. I always try to take at least one other person so that we both can help explain and show the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some suggested activities to do this: discuss spiritual things in more detail as we engage in spiritual conversation. There was a lady in Thomasville I've told you about, Rebecca Jones, could barely read, barely write. But she, everywhere she went to the store, she was telling people about Jesus Christ. She went to the beauty parlor, she was telling people about Jesus Christ and the gospel and the church. Everywhere she went, she had one thing in mind, and that is to share the message with people. And I want to tell you something. I learned a lot from this lady that couldn't hardly read or write, is that if we want to do that bad enough, we're going to do that. And she was fantastic. She would bring these things up and talk about these things, and she'd call up on the phone, "Brother Allen, got a Bible study. Can you come so-and-so? Now, when can you come?" And she would keep Beth and I, sometimes she kept us just as busy as could be at Bible studies. And so that's what she wanted to do. And if we want to do that, we're certainly going to find a way to do it. Invite people to church and Bible class. And you've seen this chart before. 79% of people are at a church because a friend or relative invited them. Invited them. And so that's why people are going to church. The vast majority are going because a friend or relative invited them. And then when you bring them, you sit with them, you go home for dinner, and then you continue these things. And that's why most people are going to church. Just think, you know, as I study these things, I found this statistic, you know, I mean, I just say, if I was doing a better job at making friends, sharing my faith just the best I could, and just bring them to church, you know, and I've learned a lot from my kids with this, because they're great at doing this. You know, they're asking their friends constantly, "You want to come to church? You want to come to church? Come to church with me." I can hear Pam. I hear all the phone. "Come to church with me. Come to church with me. Come to church with me." There might be three or four. Might be a carload of them drive up sometime. "Come to church with Pam." I want to tell you this one. Dawn, one of Dawn's friends. Hopefully she's going to be back. Dawn brought a friend to church. And she came to our Bible class over here. And she took her Bible class book home with her. She's taking her Bible class book to school. She's taking her Bible to school to be able to do the things at school. You know, our Bible, I don't see one of the books here. There's not much room to write down an answer in those books, you know. She's taking an extra notebook to write out the answer, you know, so she can write a long answer to those things. And that's somebody who is interested having a little bit of trouble, you know, making it here and working out some logistics and all of that. And she's only, what, in seventh grade or something. But that is someone who is interested. I wish we had a bunch of people interested like that. And what is it about? We've not lived here very long. It's that one person gets a friend and says, hey, come to church with me. Comes over, spend the night, go to church, and I know she'll be back. That's just one example of many. But kids are great at that because they're not afraid. Nobody's told them, no, you can't do that. Or that's not the best thing to do. You know, you might hear no. They don't care. They go on and do it. And so I've learned a lot from them. I told you the story about Gerald Searcy, one of my best friends in Thomasville. Neighbor who's a Christian, must have invited him 200 times to go to church. And he finally went to church. And the lesson is there, don't give up. You know, the neighbor would go down and invite and invite and invite and invite and invite. And finally he went to church, and somebody else came over and did the Bible class. The neighbor didn't do the Bible class. Didn't have to do the Bible class. The neighbor just got him there. Somebody else did the Bible class. He obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. His whole family obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because one guy wouldn't stop asking in the neighborhood. And he got him there the first time, and then the members pitched in and did the work that they could do, and he was converted to Jesus Christ. I told you about the lady who was stopped by a state trooper, and I'll never forget that story. Because I don't know about you. See, I got a speeding ticket in Thomasville not too long before we left. And I was driving to Bradfordville to preach there in the morning, and you know, the speed limit's 65 right up there. Well, I was anticipating 65. Well, I was still back here in the 45 mile an hour zone. You know, sort of halfway thinking about what I was going to be doing or what I was doing. And did I think about asking that fella anything about spiritual things or church? No, I was just scared to death. But I knew I was going to get a ticket. I said, I know you got to give me a ticket. I was going 62 and a 45. He made the ticket for 60, thankfully, so my insurance didn't get killed so bad, Scott. You know, so, but did I think about Sunday morning talking to this guy about church? No. Well, the lady in Ocala did. And he said, no, I'm not interested, but my wife's been looking for somewhere. Can I call her? Yeah, you can call her. This is my phone number. Call her. She was converted. The state trooper was converted. But just thinking about that. And I'm ashamed to say I don't think like that. And I'm working on it. Believe me, I'm working on it. And I need to do a better job with that. Watch and listen. Be ready to meet spiritual needs. I got to use my wife again with this. Beth, I'll tell you about her journey just a little bit to the Lord. She had a question on the book of Revelation. And there was somebody in the little town where she lived, where there I don't know if 100 people lived there or not, but there happened to be some Christians that lived there. And so they studied the Bible with her and got her questions answered and taught her the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she visited at church. First time she ever visited, she responded to the gospel invitation. First time she ever went to church, responded to the gospel invitation. There was somebody out there who knew her to some degree. I don't know how much they knew her. But she had a question, something that was bothering her, and somebody sat down with the Bible to answer her questions from the book of Revelation, which isn't easy. And believe me, these folks were no scholarly theologians. Believe me, a million miles from it. They just cared about her and wanted to open the Bible and do the best they could to help her and taught her the gospel. She went to church, first time, obeyed the gospel right there. She had a need. Be aware of people who have spiritual needs. The last guy that was converted before we left Thomasville, he called me, by the way. It was funny. He called me last night. He was working on his Bible class for Sunday morning. And he had some questions. And some questions were worded a little funny. He called me to help him do his Bible lesson over the telephone. That was perfectly fine. The last guy, his name was Eddie Kelly. I got to, you know, meet him a little bit. He worked for one of the guys that went to church. So I'd be around, and I would say, hey, Eddie, and shake his hand a little bit, whatever. And his father-in-law died and didn't know anybody to ask to preach the funeral. That tells you something. Nobody. And so he's telling his boss, he said, you know, I don't have anybody to preach the funeral. I said, well, you know, Alan, ask Alan. He'll be happy to do it for you. Well, sure, I did. Go over, meet with the family, do the funeral. And it was just a few weeks after that, he tells his boss, he says, you know, I want to be saved. Said I had this preacher from this place over here, and what they were telling me, all kinds of goofy stuff, and that didn't make any sense to me. And said, I've been trying to find somebody to teach me what to do to be saved. He said, well, you know, Alan, call Alan. He'll be happy to come over. And so just go over, and I take over the one lesson study I'm going to share with you next week. Just take that over. We go over that, and the next morning he was baptized into Christ. Going there, faithful, growing leaps and bounds. But what was that? That was one guy listening to an employee who had a spiritual need. Someone needed to do the funeral for his father-in-law. Someone needed to show him what to do to be saved. And all he did was say, "Won't you call so-and-so?" That's all he did. And that was being in tune to spiritual needs. Study the Bible with them. I'll tell this one on Pam. Pam and another friend met a couple of guys at the bowling alley. And they came to church, not to see them, but to see her friend. Her friend didn't end up coming to church. She had to go back home on an emergency to the hospital. And so we had to take her like Saturday night at midnight back home. And so they come to see Pam's friend, but Pam's friend wasn't there. And so we say, "Well, you know, can you come over to the house? Come over to the house." They came over to the house a couple of times. And the guy was talking about spiritual things. He said, "Well, you want to study the Bible." So we sat down with the one lesson study I'm going to share with you next week. And immediately he was very angry. So we had to get over the anger very quickly because he could see where he had been taught wrong and he had believed it. And so we had to get over that first. We got over it. He was baptized that night. The guy that came with him, he would come to church a little bit and all of this, and he was baptized a few weeks later. Now, this was because at the bowling alley, met a couple of guys and said, "Come to church." And that's how that all got started right there. So just be willing to sit down. I'll tell you a story that breaks my heart. One of the guys I sort of got to meet, parents of some of the kids' friends, you know, and he was interested in spiritual things, but I didn't know it. And he was going to another church, and, you know, he did what they said to be saved and all that, and he thought he was perfectly fine. And the guys there at work, you know, they invited him to come to do a little Bible study at work, and, you know, and he does that. He told his wife this. He says, "When I was lost, I really needed the Bible study. Why didn't they ask me then? Now that I'm saved, now they ask me to do the Bible study." Well, that was in another church, and not to talk about his condition with all of that. But this is the thing that broke my heart. That fella that I knew was wanting to study the Bible, but I didn't ask. I didn't ask. And that breaks my heart. Because I knew him. Payne would be playing softball. He'd sit behind me. I'd sit in front of him. Ha, ha, ha. We did all this stuff, you know. I didn't ask. And that breaks my heart. I remember that. I'll probably remember that to the day I die. Because I like that guy. I like him. And I didn't ask. Ask. Ask for a Bible study. Are you interested in spiritual things? Would you like to study the Bible? My time is long gone. The last thing is the invitation. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And here is the invitation of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus invites people, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says, "Come." It's the invitation. Remember in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. The invitation is to come. Heard a story that's I've never forgot, and it's really meant a lot to me, to make sure that I offer the invitation. And simply, the invitation is simply asking someone, "Would you like to become a Christian?" Or after the lesson, just "What do you think?" Or "Would you like to be baptized?" I mean, it's just to ask the question. That is important. A gospel preacher tells a story about going somewhere to do a gospel meeting, and there were two teenage boys, older boys, and they had never obeyed the gospel. Their parents, of course, were rather concerned about them. So they asked the gospel preacher to go in and talk with them and to see if he can help them in any way. And he goes to them and he just says, "Hey, fellas, you know, why haven't you obeyed the gospel? What's holding you up?" And the answer was, "Nobody asked us. Nobody asked us." Now, they sat through all the invitations there are I mean, their whole life sitting through all these invitations and all the standing and all the singing and all of this. But no one had just come to them and talk and say, hey, don't you want to become a Christian? What's holding you up? And they obeyed the gospel right away because someone went and asked, would you like to do this? Some things for us to think about. Ask if they have any questions or what they think about the lesson. Ask if we can help them with any questions that they may have. Offer to help if they want to obey the Lord and to be baptized, and let them know we're available anytime, day or night. And of course, after their obedience to the gospel, follow up with Bible study so that they're grounded. Some don't invite until they understand Jesus and what Jesus wants them to do. Don't pressure people and twist arms. We're just simply there to help them. If they understand God's word, and we're just there to help them obey if that's what they choose to do. And of course, don't give up. I've had the pleasure of baptizing two older men, up in their 60s somewhere. And now that I'm approaching 50, that doesn't seem too old. But at the time, they seemed pretty old, you know. And they had been going to church for the longest time, just like 30, 40 years. I mean, just for like ever. And you just wonder, you know, why don't you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, and both of them, I just was very, very gentle about it and said, well, you know, if I can ever help you in any way, you know, just let me know. And they knew what to do. It wasn't like there was anything need to be taught or anything like that. And both decided to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, that taught me a lesson. The lesson is, don't give up on anybody. Even after 40 or 50 or 60 years, never try to make excuses why to stop trying to reach them or why not to care about them anymore. And don't ever say things like, oh, they're never going to come to Christ, they're never going to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and never presume to know their motives or what they're thinking or what's going on in their mind, but stay positive about people. Stay positive about people, because it's never too late until we pass from this life. Listen to their answers. And there have been people, I would ask them, would you like to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or not even that. I just ask them, what do you think after getting through the lesson? And, the answer is not, I want to, you know, I want to be baptized. The answer is not, I want to become a Christian. Now, some people are that before you get done with the lesson. They tell you they want to be baptized and become a Christian. Some are not. But listen to what they say, because they'll tell you usually why not, what's standing in the way. And one girl I can remember studying with her, she'd been going to church all of her life. And I studied with her mom, and her mom was baptized, and then I studied with her. And we got done with the lesson, and I said, well, what do you think? Well, she says, I think I need to study some more. I said, okay, let's study some more. So we studied some more. And it wasn't but just a few weeks till, well, we had studied enough, and she was ready to be baptized and be a Christian, and she was. And so listen, the answer is not always, with the first invitation, is not always yes, but listen to what the answer is, and then address those needs, and the answer one day may be yes. Well, let's summarize all of this. After we build a bridge with folks, we can let the traffic flow, and we do that by sharing our faith, allow the body, the congregation, our Christian friends to be a witness, simply introduce our friends to other Christians, expose them to the gospel in our general conversations. Perhaps they want to have a Bible study with us. Perhaps they want to come to church with us. Perhaps they want to go with a Bible study at somebody else's house or whatever it is. But just try to get them to be exposed to the gospel. And after they are exposed, after they understand the gospel, simply invite. Just as a good friend. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there any question I can answer for you? Would you like to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, if you ever decide to do that, I'm here for you. Any time of the day or night, you call me, I'm there for you. Just give them that support. God's providence, of course, is what's key to all of this. And we've talked about that. We certainly do not dismiss that. When we're ready to be workers, when we've prepared ourselves, when we're hungering and thirsting to help others come to the Lord through the gospel and to be saved, the Lord will bring folks our way. And I think we see that already. And I believe He's going to continue to do that. And I believe we're going to be successful with that. Not because of ourselves, but because of God and the power of His Word. the things that we do, the things that we are, people that we are as a body of Christ. We're going to extend the gospel invitation tonight as we sing number 295. If you get your songbooks out, Christ Receiveth Sinful Men. If you're not a Christian tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to come to Him. As He's already given the invitation, come to Me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden.